Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, March 7th, 5:28 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are higher this morning. I'm happy to report that higher, at least for the moment. May corn futures up 6.5 at 4:35 and a quarter. May soybeans up 9 3/4 at 11:58. May Chicago wheat up 4 at 5:35. May Kansas City wheat up 6.5 at 5:62 3/4. May spring wheat up 7.5 at 6:52 3/4. Let's start off with the wheat market, which is up today, but acted very poorly yesterday.
So wheat futures fell to their lowest level in more than 3 years on Wednesday. On a continuation basis, SRW futures traded on the CME bottom near 520 per bushel, the lowest trade since August of 2020. Trade chatter indicated that China may cancel previous purchases of U.S. SRW wheat. In addition, cheap wheat from Russia continues to undercut global prices.
The cheap wheat from Russia is an old story. The potential cancellations of U.S. SRW wheat from China, that's a new story. And that was the story that circulated yesterday and probably helped to send SRW wheat futures to fresh lows. What's happened the last couple of years in the wheat market is absolutely incredible. You peaked at 14.25 per bushel on a continuation basis in SRW futures in March of 2022. We're down to 5.21 this morning. That's a 64% decline in prices. Absolutely phenomenal. When you look at a daily chart, this is the HRW chart of May 24. You've had some rally attempts, but they've been very short-lived. They might last 5 or 6 days. But we have done nothing but trend lower for months and months and months and months. I think when it comes to things you could see later this morning, you may very well see some confirmation that China canceled some SRW wheat purchases out of the U.S. At the same time, in the weekly export sales report that'll be out at 7:30, I would not be shocked to see some small Chinese purchases of U.S. corn reported. There was some chatter that there were some cargoes sold out of the PNW to China last week, and they could be included in the weekly report. They may have not been large enough to trigger a flash sale, but they could be included this morning at 7:30. So look out for those two things. I don't know if you'll see either of them, but I think either of them are possible.
Bunge Global and Chevron have partnered to create Bunge Chevron Ag Renewables, LLC. The joint venture will focus on producing renewable fuel feedstocks. The new company plans to build an oilseed processing facility near the Gulf Coast in Louisiana. The facility will be able to process both soybeans and soft seeds, such as winter canola. The facility will also cater to the expanding feed and protein sectors by producing meal products. The plant is expected to begin operations by 2026.
We're going to see a lot of stories like this. Yesterday, we reported that Chevron was closing two biodiesel plants in the Midwest, and now they're starting a new processing facility in Louisiana. None of this is like a market mover today. The things that will move the market ultimately will be higher soybean crush, maybe higher or at least steady ethanol production or corn used for ethanol. USDA is projecting that we're going to crush a record amount of soybeans in the United States this year. And I believe that to be true. I think they're accurate, but it hasn't been enough to offset what we're losing in exports, and two, the fact that we had a big crop last year. And that's why ending stocks are expected to increase drastically this year. So these are all stories that we should kind of keep an eye on. But in terms of what's going to move the market, you need to see the bigger crush numbers. You need to see the bigger ethanol production numbers, that sort of thing. That's what will really move the needle.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about the video you put together with Brian Split yesterday?
Brian was on yesterday. We do charts, or Brian does charts, and I kind of observe every other Wednesday. Has the corn market bottomed? We talked about some levels on the charts that are of interest to Brian. Where does he think we kind of need to be above in order to say, yeah, that was a bottom or the bottom? There's never anything black and white. It's all kind of gray, but we deal in improbabilities, not certainties here, of course. There's also some really great stuff in regard to cattle and hogs. I don't do cattle and hogs, but Brian does on the charts, and I thought there was some super interesting stuff there. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, there's a new video every single business day. Our morning email goes out at 5 a.m. Central Time. That includes the 6 most recent premium videos, along with a whole bunch of other charts, graphics, all of my grain marketing recommendations. Sign up this morning. It's a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. There's no other fee. There's no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Just a ton of information direct from us every single business day, guys. Give that deal a shot this morning.
U.S. ethanol production declined last week. Weekly output of 1.06 million barrels was down 2% on the week, but up 5.4% versus the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were pegged at 26.05 million barrels. The print was up marginally compared to the previous week and up 5.2% compared to the same week last year. Implied gasoline demand was up 6.4% compared to the previous week, but down 1.1% versus the same week last year. On average, over the last 4 weeks, implied U.S. gasoline demand is down 2.5% versus the same period last year.
That's a solid weekly ethanol production number. It's really good. It's where we need to be. The stocks number is high, but that's normal from a seasonal standpoint. You'll see ethanol stocks in the United States build through April and May, and then you'll see a drawdown during kind of your summer driving months. As it relates to corn demand, I think we're a little bit ahead of where USDA says that we're going to be in order to hit projections. We're running, in terms of ethanol production, about 4.5% ahead of last year's pace. So you could make an argument that USDA needs to come up by, I don't know, call it 25 million bushels with its estimate for corn demand via ethanol. Now, 25 million bushels is not a needle mover when it comes to the markets. And really, at this point, if you're looking for a demand rally in the markets, it's not going to be demand on the domestic front. Ethanol is largely a fixed item. It moves around a little bit, but not a lot. Feed demand is largely a fixed item, moves around a little bit, not a lot. If you're going to see a demand thing, it's going to be exports, and we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen the big buys from China that we'd like to see. We haven't seen enough to really move the needle. So yeah, this is great, and it's supportive, but to really change the situation, you need to see better exports.
According to the Buenos Aires Grains Exchange, rainfall in Argentina is expected to lessen in the fall as El Niño fades. As the weather pattern diminishes, there is a possibility that La Niña could follow, bringing drier conditions. In the last month, El Niño provided abundant rainfall to a large portion of Argentina's soybean and corn crops. The exchange is estimating Argentina's soybean crop at 52.5 million tons and their corn crop at 56.5 million tons.
So it may turn dry in autumn in Argentina, which is like March through June. Corn and soybean harvest in Argentina is like April, May, June. So if it turns dry during harvest, it's not going to be a row crop issue. It could be a wheat issue. I'm not a big El Nino or La Nina person. And when I say that, I mean this. I don't really care about this stuff. Weather forecasters are only able to predict what's going to happen, what, 4 or 5 days out at best, maybe 5 to 10. The trade, in my experience, even in the thickest of weather markets, might look at stuff out to 15 days. But beyond that, the forecasts are generally useless. And I'm not hating on weather people. I'm a market person. I can't tell you what the market's going to do 10 seconds from now. The weather guys are at least good for 4 or 5 days. But in any case, I don't see this as being an issue. The forecasts for both Argentina and Brazil, I would call very much benign this morning. There's a couple areas of Brazil that are going to see some net drying here, this second corn country. Argentina appears to be in pretty good shape. So I see no South American weather threat as it stands right now.
Despite inflation and hiring data coming in hotter than expected in January, the Federal Reserve is still planning to cut rates later this year. According to Fed Chair Jerome Powell, the slowdown in inflation over the last year overshadows the uptick in January prices. Powell also said officials need more evidence that inflation is easing before rates can be cut. In December, Fed officials announced they were planning to cut rates about 3 times this year. The markets are currently projecting 3 or 4 cuts this year.
This is an area of contention because the economy appears to be in pretty good shape. Are interest rates restrictive to some people? Yeah, they are. I know as far as our crowd goes, they'd love to see lower interest rates. But just the idea that the economy appears to be in really good shape, employment's good. The stock market's good. We've still got inflationary pressures, but that they're going to cut rates into all of this is kind of odd. Like, could inflation turn back on? Could we overheat in terms of some sectors of the economy if they cut? I think that's one of the risks right now. So the way Powell talked, I mean, he's saying, yeah, it's not a guarantee, but I think that the market believes that the rate cuts are a guarantee for sure. What did cattle do yesterday?
Cattle futures were lower. Feeders closed an average of 91 cents lower. Live cattle closed an average of 46 cents lower. Box beef was marginally higher. Choice gained 12 cents to close at 304.91. Select gained 22 cents to close at 295.09.
Outside markets this morning, U.S. dollars off a little bit. Stocks are fractionally higher. Bonds about flat. Crude oil is down 53 cents in the May WTI at 77.88. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Friday.